welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Thursday. It is the 14th of July, 2011. It's the French holiday, Bastille Day. So a big hello to all our French Americans as they celebrate the French holiday, Bastille Day. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show. We are on KVOI AM 1030. It is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and we have our simulcast partners, KJAA in Globe, and we're on KAPR in Douglas. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show there at buckmastershow.com, along with archiving all of our previous programs. The program is usually posted within about 2 or 3 hours after its conclusion. Today's program will probably be up by about dinner time. We are live weekdays from noon to 1. The lineup for today's show includes a lead-off conversation about the results of a new University of Arizona study about medical debt and the reality that despite having medical insurance, those big medical bills can still pile up, and those bills are due on demand. At 20 minutes past the hour, we'll talk with Keith Rosenblum. Keith is the Buckmaster Show contributor on Mexico and the border. He will be checking in from Mexico City. Keith had a rather interesting encounter with a U.S. immigration official at the Nogales border recently, and he'll tell us all about that. At the bottom of the hour, we welcome back our consumer affairs contributor, Tom Collier, and then we will wrap up today's show with the former Democratic candidate for Arizona Secretary of State, Sam Wyrsinski. Mr. Wyrsinski says, do not write off clean elections, public financing of elections yet in the state of Arizona. The Buckmaster Show is an interview-driven talk show, but we encourage you to join in the discussion. If you hear something that has, perhaps you have a question for one of our guests or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. The Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040. Outside of the Tucson area, it's toll-free at 1-866-725-5467. You can also email questions to bill@buckmastershow.com or submit the questions via the Buckmaster Show Facebook page, which I am delighted to say our friends on Facebook continue to grow. If you would like to be a friend of the Buckmaster Show, we encourage you to check it out, Buckmaster Show on Facebook. And let us hear from you as well if there's a particular guest that you would like to hear interviewed on our program. Right now it's 12:08, and we're up now with our lead guest. Health insurance is not protecting Arizona residents from having problems paying medical bills, and having bill problems is keeping families from getting needed medical care and prescription medicine. That according to a new study carried out by Dr. Patricia Herman. Dr. Herman, University of Arizona College of Pharmacy research scientist, joins us now on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Herman, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Dr. Herman, tell me about this study. Why was this study done?
Well, the St. Luke's Health Initiatives, which is up in Phoenix, it's a foundation there, has done, in 2008, performed their first Arizona Health Survey. This is a statewide survey of health behaviors, health conditions, insurance status, and so on, of Arizonans. And we were doing the analysis of the insurance coverage. And I come from an economics background, and I was just very curious because they also asked about medical debt. And they asked about it in two different ways. First of all, have you had any problems paying bills in the last year? And the other way they asked it is in, are you currently paying off any medical bills? So I wanted to look at, well, how big of a problem is this in Arizona? And so went back to St. Luke's Health Initiatives and proposed that we do this study.
And what were the conclusions? The study from the study that was analyzed, I believe you looked at 2,300 cases included in that Arizona Health Survey.
Right, we did. The full sample was something closer like 4,200 households, and we looked at those households that were led by someone who was 18 to 64 years old. We did not look at people 65 and older because of the fact that that group pretty much completely has Medicare. So we wanted to look at the more working age adults, if I can make that generalization. And what we found were two things. The first one was that after you correct for age, income, health status, and a little bit about the, you know, whether there are children in the household, whether you have health insurance or not was not predictive of lower medical debt. In fact, it was pretty equivalent between the two groups, which was pretty shocking to us. We did not expect to find that. You know, the percents is that for those who are uninsured, you know, if you just look at it alone, 43% of them have medical debt of one of those kinds that I talked about. And 27% of those with insurance do. Now, so that shows a lower amount, but it's not that much lower, as you would think. And, you know, again, after making these corrections, we ended up finding that there was no difference. And that was, like I said, one of our main conclusions and the most troubling one.
Yeah, because you would assume the perception would be that if you have medical coverage, you're not really going to have a lot of medical debt. But that apparently is not true, according to the research you've analyzed.
Right, right.
And that's surprising.
Right. And if you look just at people who are currently paying off medical bills, that version of medical debt, there's no difference. It's one out of five Arizonans with or without insurance are currently paying off medical bills. And, you know, the amounts also are interesting in that the we found that across the state in 2008, people were paying out of pocket $2.4 billion worth of medical costs. That's about 8% of the total amount of medical care that happened in the state. So that's a big amount. And for those who reported that they were currently paying off medical bills, the average amount was right around $3,300, which is a substantial amount to have, as Bill pointed out, a bill arriving that you're required to pay immediately.
Yeah, because that's payment due on demand, and these are some big bills that are piling up. And again, I was so surprised. That was one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on the program. I was surprised at what this study found. And I, that leads to the question, what can we learn from this study, and what perhaps can people do about it? What can they do to be better prepared?
Well, can I
go
get
ahead
to that in a
sure
minute? Because,
sure,
so I said the study found two main things.
Yes.
One is this fact that
on average,
insurance was not being protective, which we would expect it to
right
be. And the second one being that, you know, a long time people have known that people delay or don't get needed care, you know, their prescription medications or other needed doctor visits, that they don't get those if they don't have insurance. So that we've known that for a while. But if you have medical debt, that's an additional reason why you don't get it. And so, I mean, it's an independent predictor of delaying or not getting this needed care. So it's not just the debt, which is troublesome enough, but it's preventing people from getting needed care. So,
and to the question then, what we can learn from this study?
Well, what we can learn from it is I think that the focus on just insurance or not is not enough. I think we need to look more closely at what health insurance really covers and be a little more careful on that. Fortunately, the new Affordable Care Act is addressing some of these issues. But as individuals, we can, you know, people just need to be smarter about insurance. And there are some places you can call, go talk to your HR. If you're getting your insurance through the employer, go talk to your HR person to find out, you know, am I really covered? And, you know, for for what I could expect to come down the pike, or talk to independent insurance agents, or the Department of Insurance in Arizona.
So do your homework, really, yes. When it comes to this insurance question. University of Arizona College of Pharmacy Research Scientist Dr. Patricia Herman is talking with us about the study that was published online June 16th. By the American Journal of Public Health, and congratulations on that. I mean, that's a prestigious organization to publish your research.
Oh, well, thank you very much. But I also just think it's a very important point in that we do need to start to pay attention to this.
And families with children really were hard hit too, weren't they?
Yes, that's one of the things that was a very troubling additional outcome of this research is that households with children were more likely, and I think it was about twice as likely, to have report medical debt of different kinds as those without children.
You know, then there's the role of the patient advocate. So some of these people that are incurring this huge amount of debt, what role does the patient advocate play in all of this?
That's a very good question. One of the things that I would like – patient advocates a lot of times work with patients to help them navigate the healthcare system in terms of, you know, regular care as well as in hospital care. And right now, the advocates are focusing on getting the best healthcare possible, and I think that's very important. But I do think that also one bit of attention needs to go on those procedures that are going to be larger out-of-pocket costs than not, in that I don't think a doctor should be making a decision on your care based on how much it costs, but I think you should know, individuals should know, what they're facing. And sometimes it's just a matter of whether or not you get a referral to a specialist who is in network versus out of network. And that can make all kinds of difference.
Yeah, it can be a huge economic impact. We're quickly running out of time with Dr. Herman, but where do you go from here? Are you going to follow up on this?
Well, we've been talking to the Arizona Cancer Center because, you know, like I said, there really just has not been a lot of research on this. And I would like to we're trying to put together a small study there with cancer patients of doing two things. One, just understanding how many bills end up showing up later after you've had your diagnosis and you're going through treatment. You're already sick. You already can't work as much as you would like to or used to. And then you get these bills showing up out of the blue. What shows up and how many of those and how big of a cost is there? Where do they come from? And are some of them ones that should be appealed, ones that should not be paid? That we need to be able to go back and say, you know, hey, wait a minute, this should be covered.
Dr. Patricia Herman, thank you very much from the University of Arizona College of Pharmacy. Very interesting study that you were involved with and published in online June 16th by the American Journal of Public Health. Thank you for being with us on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up next on the Buckmaster Show, Keith Rosenblum, our Mexico contributor. He's got an interesting story to tell us. That's coming up next. He'll be with us on the Buckmaster Show live line from Mexico City. Simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top quality custom made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call 795-2553 or visit him at Arizona Lemon Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza. topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero Mori in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromoripizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tankaverde Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tankaverde, at the southwest corner of Tankaverde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tankaverde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tankaverde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
It's 12:23 on the Buckmaster Show. Next up, Keith Rosenblum, Buckmaster Show contributor on the border. He's a former senior border reporter for the Arizona Republic and former Sonora correspondent from the Arizona Daily Star. Keith is the founder of the website MexLink, and he had a rather interesting exchange with a Customs and Border Protection officer while crossing the border at Nogales, and he writes about it, that exchange in the Nogales International. And basically, before we go to Keith, I want to share a little bit with our listeners about what happened there with Officer, I guess you're calling him Jaime. Officer Jaime says, "Where are you coming from?" The reporter, Keith, says, "Hermosillo." "Anything to declare?" as he's scanning Keith's passport. The reporter, Keith, says, "No. What's the purpose of your visit?" "Oh, some interviews." "You got family down there?" And Keith says, "No." And then the officer says, "Maybe a special lady there?" Keith, that's a little bit unusual, wanting to know about your love life at the border. How you doing?
Hi, Bill. Well, it was actually a very boring topic if we were to discuss it. I would like you to try to devote a show to it in the future. But it actually is not uncommon at all. The kinds of intrusive questions or irrelevant questions, it's a tactic to catch you off guard. And I actually don't have any problem with that. You know, where if you say what do you have for dinner, or something that catches someone off guard, because what they don't want is for someone to memorize or have a rote statement that they can then they've rehearsed. So it's okay to look to try to jab somebody, I suppose, and get them off guard. But when you leave the realm of dignity and start asking people questions, and this is probably the fifth or sixth time it's happened to me, and I'm actually a law-abiding, well-dressed white man in his 50s, and you should be aware that this goes on all the time, and lots of things that are a lot more sinister or a lot more intrusive than that, and they go on with U.S. citizens, but they go on more with foreign nationals, because foreign nationals, they know, will never object to it. Just whatever treatment you give me, I know I have to do that to get into the U.S., and if you do object, you're just asking for more trouble.
Keith Rosenblum is on the Buckmaster Show live line with us live from Mexico City. 790-2040 to talk with Keith. Or Keith, let me ask you about that Time magazine cover story of July 11th, The War Next Door, Why Mexico's Drug Violence is America's Problem Too.
This is ongoing. It's interesting that Time has picked up on the issue 10 years after it was relevant in our lives. This eventually has to spread over, and it is in little increments. I think the big issue is that in Mexico, the it's kind of like it's in the hands of not monopolies, but what do you call them, duopolies, several different groups that are all large. And in the U.S., the distribution networks are more small business people and others. The networks are not quite as large, so it's not as, not as prominent, I guess, in the society. But what's happening eventually has to, the border's artificial in that area, and so eventually the violence has to spill over. And you know my point of view on this, and it's a lot of Mexicans' point of view as well, which is that that until we have either a ceasefire or a declaration that at least marijuana is going to be legal, there's no hope in sight. It is inevitable. It's inevitable that it's going to spread into the U.S., and my job, and I think a lot of other people's job, is to try to warn people that we tried to contain people's habits during Prohibition. We failed, legalized, we taxed, and we made things better. We haven't gotten to that level of enlightenment yet. We're just reliving the past.
A couple of other issues I want to touch on briefly here with you. Just get your input. The trucking deal with Mexico, is that good for business?
It's great for business, but more important, it's good for our moral fiber, because we basically made a deal with the Mexicans and then broke it. And we came up with all sorts of really deceitful things to say. We decided that their tires were bald, that their drivers were overworked, all things that could have been controlled either by Department of Transportation or by DPS or by Arizona Corporation Commission. We made things up to say, don't let these trucks in, because it was basically to keep them from competing with U.S. trucking firms. So we were morally on the wrong side of this for a long time. It's a pity that it took this long for us to regain our moral compass.
And until now, Mexican trucks have only been allowed to travel within a southwestern U.S. buffer zone. So I guess this really expands that, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the one thing it doesn't do, which is what people were really concerned about, doesn't allow cabotage. That is, if you're a Mexican trucker, you can't pick up a load of produce in Rio Rico and then take it to Tucson or to Phoenix. You have to have an existing load that comes from Mexico. The same thing with airlines. A U.S. airline can make two stops abroad. They could stop in, say, Mexico City and then Acapulco, but you can't ferry people between those destinations. That would be considered to be cannibalizing or, you know, pirating the Mexican market. So I can't see who loses on the truck deal anyway, although one day I think economies of efficiency, or if you're a real Milton Friedman free trade person, then cabotage makes no sense either. Let anybody transport anything from one destination to another, regardless of the point of origin or what country you started in.
Keith, I've only got about 30 seconds left, but the U.S. has restarted the immigrant flights back, the Mexican Interior Repatriation Program. It's the eighth annual. Good or bad thing?
just a waste of money. It's like a game of cat and mouse. I mean, I say instead of sending them back to Mexico City, why not send them to rural, like, Campeche and put this and put people in a somewhere in an oasis or in the middle of nowhere and force them to come back up? All you do is to unnecessarily make people travel 2,000 more miles before they retry their entry point. It's bizarre, and it's costing you and everybody else far too much money.
Keith Rosenblum, thanks for talking with us from Mexico City. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bill.
Keith. Okay, coming up at 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, we will be back. Tom Collier is waiting in the wings.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Treasury Secretary Geithner says he's looked at all of the options and there's simply no way to give Congress more time to solve the debt limit problem. A law enforcement official says the FBI has opened an investigation into allegations that Rupert Murdoch's media company tried to hack into the phones of September 11th victims. A teenage girl is dead, two other people injured after a road collapsed, leaving a 40-foot-wide gap in an eastern Utah highway. Federal prosecutors in Philadelphia have charged a tug pilot with involuntary manslaughter. That's stemming from a deadly crash last summer between a barge and a duck boat. On Wall Street, stocks still in negative territory. The Dow is down about 45 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including five major roadways. With 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com. 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show, the Thursday edition. By the way, tomorrow, Friday focus time, our Friday focus interview will be with Tucson City Manager Mike Letcher. So you might want to get your questions ready now for Mr. Letcher. We now turn to the Buckmaster Show consumer affairs contributor, Mr. Tom Collier, who just celebrated a birthday. Happy birthday, guy, but I won't ask you how
Thank
old you,
sir.
You are
let's not go there.
On radio here with our audience stretching from one end of southern Arizona to the other.
Oh, that's okay. Let's just say I have enough experience to be a commentator on your show.
There you go. Happy Bastille Day. We'll go from there. Tom, reverse mortgages. We're seeing a lot of, I guess, one-time, big-time celebrities on late-night TV pushing them. What the heck are they?
Reverse mortgages are a loan against the value of your house. They're targeted primarily at seniors who own their homes free and clear, although there are some exceptions. And the way it works is they make a loan, which is essentially a reverse mortgage. You get not generally a lump sum, but a monthly payment that would be money that you as the homeowner can use to live on or to spend on cash, you know, to use whatever you want. It's a way of converting your ownership equity or the ownership value of your home into a stream of revenue or a stream of income that you can spend on other things. There are some hooks, of course, obviously hidden in this, because one of the things that the way the reverse mortgage works is after you don't live in your house anymore for any reason, usually the primary reason is because you die, but you can decide you want to downsize and move to a smaller house, or you can be incapacitated and perhaps go to a nursing home and not live in the house. When you don't live in the house anymore, the house is then sold, and those proceeds are used to pay back the reverse mortgage money that you received during the time you were receiving it. Now, the industry has taken some lumps recently, as has generally everybody in the real estate market. A couple of months ago, one of the big players in reverse mortgages decided to get out, and that was Wells Fargo Bank. They said it didn't fit their business profile, their portfolio, but there are a couple of other things too. If you're going to have to sell that house to make the money back in the reverse mortgage, this is not the market to be doing that in. Another thing is there's the demographic bump of the baby boomers are moving into the area, moving into that demographic range where they would be attracted to the idea of reverse mortgages. So there might be more customers, but in a really lousy housing market and a really lousy housing economy, it's going to be difficult to get rid of that house and pay the lender back. So that's from the lender's perspective. If you're looking at it, if you think, you know, watch one of those commercials and turn to somebody and say, that might be a good idea for us, there are some things you need to look out for. There are two types of reverse mortgages. There's ones which are guaranteed by an agency of the federal government, usually the FHA, you know, connected with housing, the Department of Housing, or Freddie and Fannie, those agencies. And if you're going to get one of those types of reverse mortgages, you are required to have an independent agent review your reverse mortgage to see whether it's right for you and give you some advice because, of course, the hidden perils in this. There are independent – that mortgage then is guaranteed by the federal government. There are independent mortgages which are not guaranteed that are a little more chancy. But you never get the full value of the house. You never get the full value of what you believe your house is. And if you just paid off, say, a $250,000 mortgage a couple of months ago and you're thinking, ooh, I can get that on reverse
mortgage. Yeah, get that all back.
If your house is only valued at $180,000, well, that's $70,000 you lost.
Yeah,
you're not
lost.
Upside down because you're not making payments, but your investment has lost value.
It's 12:38 on the Buckmaster Show. Tom Collier is with us. Perhaps you have a reverse mortgage or you're thinking about it. If you'd like to give us a call and talk with Tom, he'd be happy to take your question, 790-2040, 790-2040. Who, in your opinion, then, would be a real good candidate for a reverse mortgage, Tom Collier?
Well, if the people who are the major lenders aren't in the market, there are a lot of people who think they'd like to be good candidates, but they really aren't. There's the other hook in all of this is even though you get the money generally on a monthly basis, on a monthly stipend, there's fine print in the reverse mortgage which says you can be made, you can be forced to pay for upkeep on your house. You know the sad story about the elderly person who lives in their house and has to let it deteriorate because they don't have the money to keep it up. Well, if you get the money in a reverse mortgage, the lender in the fine print can require you to spend the money to keep the house up, because at the end of the deal, when they want to sell it to make money, they don't want to have to sell a piece of junk or a fixer-upper, I believe is the terminology they use in the real estate market. So you need to make sure that you understand that you still have to keep the house up. You still have to have the lawn mowed if there's a lawn. You still have to have the roof done if it needs to be roofed, those types of things. And the lender, if you let the house begin to deteriorate, can come in and force you to spend that money.
So there really are a lot – well, the – there's fine print with all this stuff, but you really have to look at the fine print with the reverse
mortgage.
To
look at the fine print and the federally guaranteed reverse mortgages. You've got a third party disinterested, usually with Housing and Urban Development or a contractor with HUD, who's willing to help you sit down and look at the terms and the paperwork and see that you fully understand what you're getting into. With the non-guaranteed private reverse mortgages, there's a lot more peril to those. So if you don't have that option of a third party sitting down and helping you understand what you're getting into, those should be approached with a lot more caution, a lot more due diligence, so that you know exactly what you're getting into.
So if your home is paid off, I guess it becomes, though, tempting. These are the people who think, well, maybe I can get it all back with the reverse mortgage.
Once again, if you paid $250,000 for your home and it's all paid off and you're real proud of that, your home in this market may not be worth $250,000, because this is a depreciating market. It is not an appreciating market. I tell you, people who work in real estate must have to, you know, sit and convince themselves every morning. They have to be relentlessly upbeat to be able to go to work in this market, in this housing market. And its ups and downs can be followed practically on a weekly basis. But right now, you don't see signs of the major lenders getting back into reverse mortgages. And once people finally do have the home free and clear, you may need a little extra money to live on, but you need to give serious, serious thought to whether a reverse mortgage is the way to do that.
Let's talk a little bit about coupons.
We
hear about extreme couponers. They wheel out those shopping carts, and they've got, seems like, a million coupons in their hands.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, if you've ever been behind them in the supermarket line, you're going, oh, my goodness. How many coupons do these people have? Them in,
well, at least they
them?
Have a bar scanner to do them on. It's not like they have to keep.
Is
them
it
in
worth
hand.
It, Tom Collier?
It depends. Once again, that's one of those "it depends" type things. This is one. It's a new phenomenon that where they have reality shows, believe it or not, called extreme couponing. Well, you watch one of those reality shows on extreme couponing, as I have, they're really not all that realistic. So the concept of an unrealistic reality show is one that you might want to, you know, contemplate for a while. Couponing can save you money, but it only works if you are willing to be utterly unloyal to any brand. Utterly, there's no brand loyalty. It can't work, because if you're going to buy what the coupon says you have to buy to get the savings, it may not be something that you normally keep in your pantry.
It may not be the peanut butter of choice.
No, exactly. And if you get coupons for peanut butter, that's usually the type of stuff. And it's processed foods. You know, Tucson at one time was, and may still be, a test market for a lot of products. So you'll get coupons for products that you may not be able to buy elsewhere in the country, because they're testing them to see whether or not they want to manufacture them and distribute them in the other parts of the country. So you'll get a lot of coupons for processed food. And yes, it's possible to walk out with four grocery carts loaded to the gunnels and you only paid $7. But look at what's in the grocery cart. You never see coupons for fresh vegetables. You
right.
never see coupons for fresh foods. You hardly ever see coupons for meat products, unless they're processed, heavily processed meat products for fresh meat. So
You see a lot of canned good products.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Canned goods, processed foods, potato chips, things that you can do in the microwave, fast foods. when you talk to home economists, and they don't call them that anymore, but when you talk to people who understand consumer spending and research consumer spending, your best bet is to plan what you believe is going to be nutritious and healthful and that you can afford. Pick a grocery store. Go to that grocery store. Learn where stuff is. Learn their specials. Look at their ads. And then try, if you can do it, to match coupons to what you already intend to buy. That way, you're controlling the coupons. The coupons aren't controlling you.
Yeah.
Because when you look at those folks who are the extreme couponers, the coupons are controlling them, not the other way around. And they're not getting really high-quality food out of it either.
So be very careful as you are clipping those coupons. Plus, you better have a lot of time on your hands to clip the coupon.
Oh, you have to be relentlessly organized. You have to be unbelievably organized to keep track of that kind of stuff. I'll get a coupon out of the kitchen drawer occasionally, and I have had the embarrassment of, I'm sorry, sir, this coupon's expired.
Right,
well, you
right.
know, so I'm
put it aside for now.
Maybe there's an entrepreneurial opportunity there. Put a database or an app together that keeps track of your coupon expiration dates. Who knows?
Tom Collier, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Bill.
For being on the Buckmaster Show as we go now to 12:45, and we're going to talk about clean elections. Is it dead? Or public financing of elections in Arizona still alive and kicking? Stay with us.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Piro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Piro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Piro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at piroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
Thank you.
1249 on the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, 790-2040, 790-2040, or toll-free. You can always reach us at 1-866-725-5467, wherever you are in southern Arizona, all the way to Phoenix, almost to Yuma, down into Mexico, over to New Mexico. We got you covered, southern Arizona. Despite last week's U.S. Supreme Court decision that a portion of Arizona's clean elections law is unconstitutional, backers of public finance campaigns say, hey, wait a minute, this deal isn't over yet. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line from Phoenix, Sam Wersinski. Mr. Wersinski is former Democratic candidate for Arizona Secretary of State. He now works with the Arizona Advocacy Network, a nonprofit, nonpartisan group that is promoting accountability of officials through government of, by, and for the people. Sam, good to talk with you again. Sam, are you with us?
Yes, Bill. It's wonderful to be on your show and with you again. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, you are so welcome. And we talked during your candidacy when I was over on the TV side, and we enjoyed our conversations with you and some of your ideas. And now you're talking about clean elections. Is this a dead issue, or as far as you're concerned, is there still some life out there?
Well, I think it's very important for first-year Tucson listeners to realize that not only is clean elections under attack, but also the city's clean money system, which has been around and been very effective for 25 years. I think it's important to highlight some of the points that the Supreme Court made. The entire majority of the court said that public financing of campaigns like clean elections and Tucson's clean money system stands on firm constitutional ground. So it was only the triggered matching funds part of the Citizens Passed Clean Elections Act that was ruled unconstitutional. And that's why we still believe that public finance campaigns and clean elections and Tucson's clean money system still provides a viable and very effective means to run campaigns and has that anti-corruption aspect of it, of providing a shield from special interests by these lawmakers and these policymakers.
Sam Wersinski is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. If you would like to ask him a question about clean elections, 790-2040. Sam, let me ask you, this apparently is going to go to the ballot. Is that your understanding next year, 2012, in Arizona?
Well, it's unfortunate. The legislature, through a lot of lobbying by big money interests, did put forward a resolution which now currently is scheduled to be on the 2012 ballot to repeal clean elections and Tucson's clean money system. And in the repeal, they don't mention clean elections at all. They're doing this in a way that will confuse voters as to what the actual result is. And the reason being, Bill, is that a poll done in March showed that there is tremendous support among Arizona voters for clean elections. In fact, we've got 77% of those polled, and this include, you know, one-third of the poll was independent, Democratic, and Republican. And the total was 77% of likely 2012 voters with an explanation of how clean elections works and what it is. 77% support clean elections and the functions it has here in Arizona.
So I would think that the campaigning on both sides of this could get very, very confusing, and I think an education process is certainly in order about what we really are talking about, what people will be voting for. Is that correct?
You're absolutely right. And I think if voters and your listeners recall the campaign that was done for payday lending, you know, there was a lot of misinformation put out by the big money that wanted to see payday loan operations remain in Arizona. The group that was opposing the effort to keep these here had very, very little money. In fact, I think they were outspent You know, very little money to about $14 or $15 million is what the payday lenders poured on this. But through that outreach and education, voters got the real information, and they turned it down 3-1 in the vote. It was a tremendous loss for big money. And we'll be having that same type of effort here in Arizona if it makes it on the ballot. It's important to note that we do have a legal challenge on the constitutionality of this referral. The legislature is trying to do a constitutional amendment to defund clean elections. And it's very hard to do a constitutional amendment because we have what's called a single subject rule for those types of ballot propositions that people would vote on. So we believe that what the legislature has done is similar to what an effort was done in 2004 by this same group, that it addresses more than a single issue for a constitutional amendment. And so we are going to trial. We will have oral arguments on October 17th, and we hope to get this thrown off the ballot and then perhaps move forward to strengthen clean elections as an anti-corruption tool that voters and Arizonans clearly want here in Arizona.
Tell me, Sam, what is the overwhelming, as far as you're concerned, argument for publicly financed elections, clean elections?
Well, I think the Supreme Court probably stated the best in that publicly financed campaigns are a tool for combating corruption among politicians. And with what we have seen recently here in Arizona, and even historically, unfortunately, we see how big money plays a part in the tax policies, in the funding of issues, in the tax appropriations that our legislature and other policymakers pass. And it's often contrary to what the majority of Arizonans truly want to see. We're not funding education, yet we're putting bids out to build 5,000 more beds for private prisons. That's not where people want to see this money go. We have Senator Kyrsten Sinema, you know, pushing for the additional tax revenue that's above and beyond what was projected to have that go into education. And yet we have, you know, the governor's office saying there are other priorities before education, and that just doesn't sit with what we're hearing from Arizona voters and citizens.
Sam Wyrsinski is with us. He's with the Arizona Advocacy Network. He's a former Democratic candidate for Arizona Secretary of State. Sam, I want to ask you about State Representative Terry Proud, who represents the Catalina Foothills in the legislature, Republican, who is pushing for a special session. She's very unhappy about the redistricting process. What are some of your thoughts quickly on the redistricting in Arizona?
Well, I think that the redistricting process is moving along at an appropriate pace. First of all, we have to remember that there's been very little funding given to this independent body, again, voter approved, because it wanted to take the decision of how districts are created out of the hands of a partisan legislature. And I think that this particular body of commissioners are perhaps moving a little bit slower to try and avoid perhaps some of the perceived or real pitfalls of the last commission. I think the five commissioners are doing the work that they need to be doing. It's very important that your listeners and others around the state get more active in giving the commission their input on what they feel is important for Arizona for the next elections. And what we at Arizona Advocacy Network are promoting with the commission is that they first ensure that the Voting Rights Act criteria is met, and that that our communities of color, our Latino communities, have the opportunity to choose the representation from their communities. And then secondly, to increase the number of competitive districts that are possible. We've had a professional demographer that's been involved in redistricting around the country for the last 25 years. And based on his calculation of our demographics, our the voting turnout, the registration, he believes that we should be able to have at least 10 competitive legislative districts and 4 or more competitive congressional districts. And then what that does, Bill, is it increases citizens' participation in these elections before during and after the election has happened. And that's how we have a thriving democracy.
Sam Wyrsinski, thank you so much for being with us on the Buckmaster Show. If folks want more information about the Arizona Advocacy Network, your website, is it azadvocacy.org? Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And we have a foundation, so individuals that want to support us, those can be tax deductible.
Okay, Sam, I hope you'll visit with us again on the Buckmaster Show. Thanks for being with
us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sam Wyrsinski on the Buckmaster Show live line with us from Phoenix. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. And that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday. Want to promote tomorrow's show? We have Tucson City Manager Mike Letcher. He'll be our Friday Focus guest at 12:04 on the Buckmaster Show, plus the Friday Reporters Round Table. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon. See you at noon on Friday on the Buckmaster Show.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.